A play fake. Young goes deep middle. He's got Jerry Rice. Touchdown 49ers!
Welcome to another edition of the 49ers Family Podcast, where three generations of 49ers fans break down the game each week and hear from Grandpa Mike as he shares personal experiences and stories since he became a fan in 1949. My name is Josh, and I'm here with myself, just me, and we are a 49ers family. All right. I have yet to do a podcast by myself, but, you know, things happen. Grandpa Mike is on a plane right now going over to Italy. My dad is busy helping with some family medical matters. All is looking well at this point, so you know the prayers are working. So it's just me, and I hope that's okay. We're gonna break it down. We're gonna talk about the Cincinnati loss, this three-game skid, now entering the bye week, what the schedule looks like on the second half of the season here. And how the Niners are reloading. I think if you're listening to this podcast, you know what I mean. The Niners pulled off once again another midseason trade, this time acquiring Chase Young, number 99 from the Washington Commanders, second overall pick from the 2020 draft for just a third round compensatory pick. Like, what the heck? That is the best value rental that I have ever seen. This guy could have a huge impact on this D-line, getting pressure on the opposing quarterback, obviously then relieves the jobs that the DBs have on the back end in the passing game. Just, I can't even contain my excitement for that. That definitely helps me deal with this loss, because I'm not going to lie, brutal loss, three in a row after winning five in a row. Demoralizing, honestly. I mean, I'm glad that we have the bye week. They always say the bye week comes at the right time. Sure, it came at the right time this year, as it did last year. Last year, I believe we lost two games going into the bye. Don't quote me on that. Picked up, obviously, Christian McCaffrey. He was part of that loss against Kansas City, but he had joined the team like two or three days prior. But then they got hot. Obviously, they didn't lose on the back half of the schedule until the playoffs, when Brock Purdy got hurt in the NFC Championship. So we'll see. We'll talk about it. We'll break it down. But first, let's look at our score predictions. I had Niners winning 23-20. Grandpa had them winning 25-17. Dad 24-17. Obviously the Niners lost by 14 points. Yikes. So I won't even go through the leaderboard, or it doesn't even matter that I was the closest, because nobody was even close. I don't think anybody in their right minds thought that the Niners would lose, one, a third game in a row, and two, yes, Cincinnati is a good team, but lose three in a row and lose it the way that they did by 14 points. I know a lot of the focus has been and was on the defense. Joe Burrow had a heck of a day, went 28 for 32. Yikes. Three TDs, obviously no interceptions. Like, the guy played lights out. It looked like Kirk Cousins all over again. The pressure was about to get to him, and he'd find a guy that one third down. He spun around and found his guy for that third down completion. They were just moving up and down the field at will. Ja'Marr Chase had 10 receptions for 100 yards. You can't do that and win football games. What's crazy, though, is that our offense only put up 17 points. And the reason why I say that's crazy is because Brock Purdy threw for 365 yards. What? We had a total 460 yards. A lot of that, though, I will say, is because Brock Purdy showed that with his legs, he can get first downs. That was pretty impressive. He ended the day 6 carries for 57 yards, an average of 9.5 per carry, a long of 16. That is more yardage than Christian McCaffrey had. Christian McCaffrey had 12 carries for 54 yards. Elijah Mitchell only had 3 carries for 2 yards, and Juice had 2 carries for 0. So while that looks like, yeah, we got 113 yards on the ground, you could say that Brock Purdy's, I don't think, maybe there's people out there, I don't think any of that was designed runs. I think he was extending plays with his legs, which we'd love to see. If anybody's been watching Jimmy Garoppolo in Vegas, woof, our boy Jimmy G is not looking good. In fact, today he was just benched. They fired Josh McDaniels, fired their GM, and are going with Aiden McDonald, I think is the last name, and a rookie, and benching Jimmy G. Wow. Jimmy G looks like he's just sitting in concrete back there waiting to get tackled. And his O-line is not helping him, so bad combo there. Brock Purdy was getting some pressure since he was doing a pretty good job, of course, but he was extending plays. But even still, like, just couldn't come up with points. 2 interceptions when they mattered the most. And it obviously hurt that the Niners couldn't stop a nosebleed. 31 points, allowing Cincy to put up 31 points, puts a lot of pressure on the offense. Brock Purdy looked amazing until he didn't, and things went south. So, you know, pretty unfortunate. Other things, looking at the stat sheet, you know, yeah, I mean, since he was 4 for 5 in the red zone, we were 2 for 4. Since he only had one penalty for 15 yards, we had 5 for 54. It's not great, not bad. We all also, in addition to those 2 interceptions, lost a fumble. We recovered a fumble, which was all right. It's really, I believe, those interceptions that really, really cost us. But otherwise, just a weird game. I mean, just a weird game. I do think more of the blame is being placed on the D, and rightfully so. That's been our formula for success, is a suffocating defense. And we saw, you know, great performances from the defense in the first games of the season. And for some reason, it kind of started with that Browns game. The Browns found a way, and it kind of, I guess, a little bit goes into that Cardinals game. Cardinals found a way to run the ball. Cleveland found a way to run the ball. Vikings don't even run the ball, so I can't even give that excuse. But Kirk Cousins diced us up, and sure enough, once again, they diced us up too. And Joe Mixon had 16 carries for 87 yards and an average of 5.4. Joe Burrow, once again, also he can get shifty. Extended some plays himself, picking up 43 yards on 6 carries. It's just, you know, I think a lot of people have their hands there. Some, you know, obviously frustrated. This team has Super Bowl hopes and aspirations, and yet here we are, breaking down the third loss in a row. Not fun. I'm sure, and you know, Nick Bosa said this actually when he was giving his boy Joe Burrow a hug after the game, and he said, "Way to ruin our bye week, Joe." And it's true, you know, the third straight loss going into the bye week, it's happening to sit on that taste in your mouth for 2 weeks. Yeah, nobody likes that. From a fan perspective, don't like that. Other, you know, things was, you know, both good and bad. I mentioned Purdy played well. He was 4 of 5 on throws, 20 plus yards downfield. Only miss was a drop by B.A., Brandon Ayuk. Mentioned the scrambling pest ability. Colt McKibbitz had a great game, 96.4% pass rush win rate. Jalen Moore and Spencer Burford struggled a little bit. We'll talk about injuries coming out of this game. Unfortunately, Aaron Banks suffered a turf toe injury, essentially hyperextending his toe. That hurts, and he will most likely be out for a few. We'll see what that looks like, though, obviously, without with the bye week. We'll see if he gets back. We'll talk about injuries in a bit. Yeah, Joe Burrow looked like an MVP. He's only pressured on 15.8% of his dropbacks. Niners blitzed him just 5 times. Yikes. I mean, a lot of blame is being placed on Steve Wilkes. I get it that he's walking into a situation where the Niners already had their identity and he's trying to fit in. I get the feeling that he's guessing a lot rather than follow his intuition, his scheme that he brings with him. He is a DB. This point has been made that he's a DB by trade, so he doesn't think pressure. He more thinks coverage. And whereas Bob Saleh and D'Amico Ryans were both linebackers. Actually, maybe Saleh was a lineman, D lineman. Anyways, they thought pressure, that was a big piece of it. Not that we were one of the most high blitzing team, but definitely more balanced. There's a lot of fingers pointing at Steve Wilkes of what the heck is he doing? And no adjustments being made mid-game. That's something that D'Amico was really good at. People are questioning, should he be down on the field rather than up in the booth? He has playmakers on the D, obviously. So that's why I think a lot of the fingers are being pointed at him from a schematic perspective. And rightfully so. I think that's a valid point. Especially now, bringing in Chase Young, that if this defense starts to deliver, obviously that looks good on the D coordinator. But if things don't improve with Chase Young, I would not be surprised to see Niners kick Steve to the curb. I'm sorry. This team, it wants to win a Super Bowl. They're not willing to be patient. I think 3 games is enough to see that something's wrong. Obviously, that one play, the full-out blitz against Minnesota right before the half that ended up being a touchdown when we only lost the game by 5 points. Huge. I mean, can't be overstated how much the coordinator has influence on this game. So a lot to improve on the defensive side. They need to get home more. They need to be better in coverage. I mean, Niners did play more man coverage Sunday than they had all year, 58% of the time. But Burrow went 14 for 17 for 138 yards and 3 touchdowns against it. Yikes. I mean, he was 14 for 15 for 128 yards against the zone too. So, I mean, essentially the Niners are just really struggling to marry coverage to pass rush, and neither is getting the job done. So this defense has essentially lost its identity, and they got to get it back quick. Yikes. But moving on, let's talk about Chase Young, who we're getting. If you don't know, you probably do know, stud of the player coming from Ohio State, actually overlapped with Nick Bosa at Ohio State. Nick had his sports hernia core injury that he ended up not playing that year, but knows Chase, thinks he's a dog, says he prepares like him and his brother do, which is very high praise. Chase was taken number 2 pick, the 2020 draft, homeboy out of the DC, Virginia area. He won Defensive Rookie of the Year honors after posting 44 tackles with 12 and a half sacks, but since then has struggled to replicate those numbers. That's due partially because of injuries. He missed the end of the 2021 season and most of the 2022 season with a torn ACL. And this kind of lack of availability led the Commanders to not pick up his fifth year option. So he is, they traded him to us as essentially a rental. He is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. Because it was fully guaranteed contract, the Niners only have like, I think $561,000 will be put on the books on the salary cap for this year. So super cheap. It was also, like I said in the intro, a compensatory third round pick, which are almost as good as a fourth round pick because they're after all of the normal third round picks. And so there, you know, there's some potential long-term injury concerns, durability, but this year, let's talk about what he's been doing this year. Through seven games this season, he has 5 sacks and 15 tackles. 5 sacks would be the most, if you were on the Niners, the most on the team. And the NFC East is no joke. I mean, they go up against Dallas. They go up against the Eagles. Giants aren't that great this year, but still. You know, but yeah, 5 sacks, 15 tackles through 7 games a season. He is productive. We have talked about on this podcast, and reporters have been talking about really since Nick Bosa joined, that first year, Nick Bosa's rookie year, he had Dee Ford on the other side. And when Dee Ford was healthy, that line was nasty. And now, but he got hurt. Obviously, that turned out to be a bad contract for the Niners. I think we're still paying him. But here we go. Have the trademarked Buckeye bookends now with Chase Young on one side, Nick Bosa on the other. You gotta believe that this is gonna be huge because you can't double team both of them when you have Eric Armstead and Javon Hargrave, Javon Kinlaw in the middle. You just can't. You have to pick your poison, and somebody's gonna get a one-on-one matchup. Somebody's gonna get home. Or at least, pressure. And the Niners need that. I mentioned that marrying up with that pass coverage with the pass rush. So could be more excited about him. Looks like a great, great, great deal from the Niners perspective. Some Commanders fans are a little bit bugged because Sweat, another defensive lineman of theirs, went to the Bears for a second round pick. And Chase Young, who should demand more, but maybe there's injuries concerns, whatever, gets traded for just a third round compensatory pick. Better than nothing for the Commanders that were going to let him walk after this year. So definitely looks like the Niners got the better end of the deal, and hopefully he can be productive. He can prove to be an elite player, and if he leaves in free agency, then there's potential we could pick up a third round compensatory pick from him as well. So quite the deal. John Lynch, you're a wizard. And people have said it, and I totally agree. John Lynch, man, what a dealer. This guy just has relationships all over the board. Martin Mayhew and Washington, obviously part of this deal formerly with the Niners. So just the connections that John Lynch has between being a player, being in the broadcast booth and all those production meetings, and now being a GM for this is what his seventh year, something like that. This guy is just a monster. These mid-season acquisitions have always, for the most part, turned out to be awesome, and just so proud to be a Niners fan. I saw the Seahawks pick up Leonard Williams and was like, oh gosh, like, come on, we got to do something. And it was either pick up a defensive end, most likely Chase Young, pick up some type of nickelback or cornerback so you can put D'Amador Lenore in that nickelback position, because Isaiah Oliver, unfortunately, is not getting the job done. Or some kind of O-lineman. But the most likely was defensive end just because of the impact that they can have. And man, did we get one. Stoked about it. Going to be awesome. Can't wait to see him strut out against the Jaguars in a week and a half. So now let's talk about this bye week. Let's mention about kind of talking some injuries and then look at that second half of the schedule. Injuries, on IR this beginning of the year, we have had Darrell Luter Jr., cornerback out of the draft, and Sam Womack, who has proven to have just some ball hawking skills and good at a nickelback position. We could use him, and potentially, you know, maybe that's why we didn't go after or get a deal done. Didn't want to give up too much for a DB, because Sam Womack and Darrell Luter Jr. Should be close to, or if not back from IR after this bye week. So that's definitely promising. We need depth there. We need some playmakers, need some kind of new blood, need some juice. Chase Young should bring that, and hopefully these guys do as well. On a kind of questionable standpoint, are three huge playmakers. You know, Dre Greenlaw, shoulder injury, not to mention his hamstring injury that he's been dealing with. You could see every time he's getting up, just looks like he guys just struggling out there. So this should be huge for him to get back to hopefully full strength, if not close to full strength. Debo mentioned last week, hairline fracture in his shoulder. They mentioned he could be back after the bye week. Other independent people without seeing the x-rays have said that, you know, hairline fracture usually takes 5 to 6 weeks to heal. Who knows? But, you know, maybe we get Debo back, and then Trent Williams. Trent Williams should be back. Didn't miss the last two games, and then here at a third week with the bye, should be back. It was not a high ankle sprain. It was a typical ankle sprain. And so hopefully he'll be back for the next one. We could definitely use him on the O-line, the playmaker that he is. Our running rate, our running success rate, I should say, to the left side without him there has dropped significantly. So don't love to see that. But for that reason, would love to get Trent Williams back after the bye. And then finally, the only lingering one that's unfortunate is Aaron Banks, our guard. Will be out a few weeks with the turf toe. Mentioned that as well. Not great, but, you know, early indications, I said a few weeks, maybe it recovers quicker than they expect, and he's back after the bye. We'll see. But John Feliciano might get a start or two at that guard position in place of Aaron Banks. So, you know, definitely have some playmakers dinged up. Overall, nobody out for the year, which is huge. You know, this is a gladiator sport and things happen. But we are looking all right. You know, from an injury perspective in kind of at a high level. Now, lastly, but not least, second half of the schedule, we will break down the Jaguars game, I guess, we'll prep for, give a preview of the Jaguars game next week. Won't do that here today, but the Niners come off their bye week at Jacksonville, 11 a.m. kick, which is brutal. I guess that's 11 a.m. Utah time, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast time. So, but they should be rested up. This Jaguars team is good. I mean, it's not going to be walking the park. They're a decent team. They're fighting for playoff contention. They were a playoff team last year. Got a win. And you know, not to be overlooked. These guys are not the Jacksonville Jaguars team of a couple of years ago with Urban Meyer. Heck no, what a joke that was. And then just going over the schedule. Then we play at home the Buccaneers. Then go to Seattle. Go to Philadelphia against the Eagles. And then right after that, come back home and play the Seahawks at home. Then go to Arizona against the Cardinals. So back-to-back NFC West and divisional matchups. And then we, interestingly, we go play at home against the Ravens. That one should be fun on Christmas. And then we go to Washington to play the Commanders. So that should be interesting for Chase Young. And then finish the season against LA at home. So second half of the schedule, we have 9 games, 5 of those being on the road. You know, 2 of those being pretty close by with Seahawks and Cardinals. But then we play at the Jaguars, at the Eagles, at the Commanders, 3 East Coast games. Don't love to see that. But you know, hopefully these Niners can get rested up, get geared up, get some wins, get back on the right schedule, and you know, do what they did last year. Honestly, they have the chance to do it. They have Chase Young. They have the pieces. Brock Purdy, despite his struggles the last two games with two picks each, you know, he still is second in the league, I believe, in QBR quarterback rating or passer rating. I forget which one, but he's still in the metrics a top three QB. This team is elite, is built for to be a Super Bowl contender. I think there's little doubt that they will get to the playoffs, but as we've discussed on this podcast, it's all about seeding. Last year, having to play in Philadelphia rather than play at home, that's hard. You know, not making excuses, but that's not ideal. So this year, would love to get that number one seed. Obviously, not looking great right now. Seattle technically has the better record in the division. Eagles have the best record in the NFC with the Lions not far behind. So definitely have some work to do, but sometimes, you know, you got to get humbled. You got to get that chip in your shoulder and get back to proving people wrong. I know the Niners can do it. Stoked for them and stoked for the second half of the season. I can't believe we're already 8 games in. Wouldn't have never predicted that we'd be 5-3 at this point. But, you know, it's a long season. You know, 2 years ago, I think we were 3-5. Last year, we were 4-3 going into the bye. This year, we're 5-3. So still, you know, looking good and have you know, everything in our own control. So let's go out, let's win some games and you know, get things back on track. All right. Well, with that, that'll do it for this episode of 49ers Family. Thanks for tuning in and hearing me out, the Lone Ranger here. But I hope you guys enjoy your bye week. Watch some football. Biggest game I think on the schedule is really Cowboys Eagles. Hate to say this, but gonna say it. Go Cowboys! And this week we want the Cowboys to win. The Cowboys win is a Niners win. So we need the Eagles to win to lose a few more games. So that being said, go Niners!